Romans chapter 9. We're going to get right to the word this afternoon, and we will have a time of discussion after we spend some time in the word, and then we'll end our service with a time of worship. If you're able, let's stand together. Plenty of room up front. If any of you in the back want to move up closer, pretty comfortable where you are, aren't you? That might be part of the problem. Being comfortable is not always a good thing. I know I'm preaching already. We haven't even got started. Glad that you're here this afternoon. Thankful for the opportunity to gather around the Word of God. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text. We're in Romans chapter 9. We're going to pick up at verse 18 and read down to verse 24. I was trying to let these people sneak in real quick before we pray. Trying real hard to sneak.
By the way, Ryan did a great job with
this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ryan. Appreciate you very much. What do you talk about? Everybody's favorite thing. Listen, if you taught on fasting and people thought it was good, I'm not sure you did it right. No, appreciate Brother Ryan stepping in, and thankful for our church. We've got a lot of men I can call on to preach and teach anytime, and that's a blessing that a lot of churches don't have. And so we're thankful. Let's pray as we approach God's word. We're going to pray, and then we'll read our text. Brother Tom, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. Romans 9, verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before or afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue to walk through Romans chapter 9, we're going to spend a little time trying to look back and gain an understanding of what he's saying here exactly. But here it is. God, he'll have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardens. And then Paul kind of answers the question that he anticipates someone to have. Thou wilt say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? In other words, God's going to give mercy to who he will. He'll harden who he will. So there might be some who would say, well, then why could God judge us? Why could God find fault if he's the one who gives mercy or he's the one who hardens? Who can resist the will of God? And you might say, well, that's a dumb question, but I don't know that it's an unreasonable thing. I mean, God is sovereign and God can do whatever he wants to. But here's the reality, friends. Anytime God shows mercy, nobody deserves that. And we ought to rejoice in God's mercy and his goodness, because none of us have earned the goodness of God. It's mercy. It's unmerited favor. God giving us what we are not giving us what we do deserve. And his grace giving us the things that we don't deserve. So God is so, so good to us. But verse 20, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? In other words, if you go to the potter and he throws the lump of clay on the wheel, and he can take that same lump of clay and he can do whatever he wants to with it. He can make a trash can out of it. He can make a spittoon out of it. You guys know what a spittoon is? So you know what that is? He can make something that's kind of dishonorable, something that collects waste and all kinds of waste. Or he can make it honorable, something that would be a pitcher to have the good things in it, a vessel that has good things in it. And that potter has the power to take that lump and make whatever he wants to out of it. And that's exactly what God is able to do. He can take mankind and he can do whatever he wants to with mankind. And there are going to be some vessels that are fitted to wrath and some vessels that are fitted for his mercy. But he's pointing to some things in the Old Testament. And I want to take a little bit of time this afternoon and walk through some of those texts so that we can really understand what is it that Paul's really talking about here. Because he's alluding to some things in the Old Testament. And we want to make sure that we know what he's talking about. Because when you read this on the surface, it just sounds like this. It sounds like this. It sounds like God made man, and some men like Pharaoh, he created them for the purpose of destruction. Like he just formed a Pharaoh so that he could destroy Pharaoh. And it sounds like there's other people like Jacob that he formed, and he picked him and he formed him so that he could give him glory and honor. And God just decided to do that. And we want to make sure that we understand, is that what God's saying, or is he saying something else? So Isaiah 29, find verse 15. Isaiah 29, 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? You think there are people in the world today that think that God doesn't see what they're doing? Think that there are people who are going to escape the judgment of God as though because they do it in the dark, like God doesn't know? Yeah, people still think that today. Verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in the day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. Now, there's a lot going on here in Isaiah 29. We don't have time to unpack it all, but I want you to get this. Verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? And it's just basically saying this. Mankind has their schemes. These nations who had rebelled against God and been a snare to the house of Israel, God was going to bring judgment to those nations, no matter what they thought they were going to do, how they thought they had overcome God and the God of Israel, God was going to deal with them. And the same way God had judged Israel, they were going to go into captivity. God was going to deal with their sin, but God, because of his great mercy, was going to bring Israel back. He would bring Jacob as a nation back to himself. And that's, guys, that's Isaiah. The first half deals with God's wrath on nations and on Israel because of their rejection of him and how he was going to take them into captivity. And the last half of Isaiah is really about God's plan of redemption. I'm going to bring a remnant home. I'm going to save them alive because I promised to. Not because they deserved it. Not because they were a better nation than other nations. Not because of how many there were and how great they were, but because he loved them. And because of his love, because of his mercy, he was going to save a remnant. That's a theme that's going to continue through this book of Romans, and we're taking it a little at a time, but we'll get there. So God is the potter, and people can say whatever they want to. Like they think that they've formed themselves. They think they've made themselves. They think that the one who created them has no understanding. But really, we're the ones with no understanding, and God is ultimately in control of all things. So now look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 has been on my mind a lot this past week. As we see many in this world continue to mock our Savior and our God. It's been a lot of the news about the opening at the Olympics. Have you guys seen that? It's been interesting to watch a lot of people's reactions. There was a lot of vile things that were portrayed there, and a lot of it looked a lot like Da Vinci's painting called The Last Supper. And then there's been a lot of Christians debating whether it was really supposed to represent that or whether it was to represent some false god, Dionysius. And let me just say this. Whatever that wacko that put that thing together was trying to represent, it was disgusting and vile no matter what. And if you didn't see it and you don't know what I'm talking about, praise God. Just don't even go look it up. But let me just say this. The similarities between what happened and the Da Vinci's The Last Supper are, you just can't deny it. The similarities are there. Whether that's what he intended or not, or whether the principalities and powers that are running his life, whether that's what they intended or not. What was done was wicked, evil, demonic, and blasphemous, period. Okay? This world seems to always find a way to mock our Savior. They always seem to find a way to blaspheme our God. And there are those who would rail against God. How can you judge me? You're the one that made me. How dare you judge me? Listen, this world can rail against God, and they will, but God is in control. And he is the potter. And he can do whatever he wants to do as the sovereign God over all things. Okay. Now, Psalm 2, verse 1. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, Jesus, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Do you see it? The rulers of this world are influenced by Satan, and they say, we're not going to let God and we're not going to let Jesus the Christ rule over us. We're going to free ourselves from the bondage of God. Let me help you out today. God is not putting men in bondage. God is delivering people from the bondage of sin and death. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Ye have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Now, I want you to get this. God gives an invitation. He invites the kings of this earth. He invites the people of this earth to turn to his Son, to turn to the Anointed One, to repent and to trust in him and to worship him. That's what it means to kiss the Son, to bow down and worship him. They have the opportunity to do that. They are invited to do that. They are warned against not doing that. But when they reject God, when God's wrath is kindled just a tiny little bit, it destroys everything in mankind. All of the works of man are done, and all of the souls of men are cast into destruction when his wrath is kindled just a little. You understand that the only thing holding this world together is God's grace and mercy. The only reason we are not burned up today is because of his grace and his compassion and his mercy. And what I'm trying to show you is that you have an opportunity. You have a part to play in what kind of vessel you are. Pharaoh had a part to play. He could have been a vessel of mercy. He could have been a vessel that was used for the master's glory, and yet he hardened himself against God, and he became a vessel of destruction. Now, yeah, God knew that was going to happen, and God was going to use even his hardness for his purposes and his glory. But friends, God gave him opportunity after opportunity to repent, and I believe that God gives that opportunity to the leaders of this world today. And when you see the vile things that are going on in this world and the disgusting things that are going on in this world, friend, you got to pray for those people to repent and believe the gospel. What a glory. What a glory when somebody who is off in that wickedness and that vileness repents and turns to Christ, and they are transformed gloriously, miraculously, wonderfully by the grace of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a testimony to the mercy of God. And that's what we ought to pray for. It's what we ought to hope for. So the potter's vessel, some of them will be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessel. He says, the one that's made can't say to the thing that made it, he didn't make me this way, because God is in control. So there is the reality of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, and these things are always linked together in Scripture. Now let me invite you to look to Isaiah chapter 64, Isaiah 64, and find verse 6. You guys are familiar with this one, right? All our righteousnesses are as... Yeah, you guys remember this one. What's that mean? Well, all the good things that we do, you say people out there in the world that don't believe in God, they can do good things, but they're not good in the eyes of God. Judicially, in God's court system, if you will, when God looks at the good deeds of mankind apart from faith, God says those are disgusting, they're vile, they're filthy, they're not actually good. In our worldview from down here, you can look at somebody and say, yeah, they're doing something good. And right now, in our view, it seems good, but it's not going to do them any good in God's judgment. Because if it's not a faith, it's sin. All right, here we go. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We're going to read down through chapter 65 and verse 12. So pay attention. And if you guys highlight or underline in your Bible, there might be some things that stand out to you might want to mark. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself from these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Verse 1, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I have found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to be to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, my servant shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be as a fold of the flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that I have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, that furnish the drink offering into that number. Therefore will I number you with the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Listen, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, I know that was a lot, but there was too much there we couldn't skip over. I want you to get this. Israel had been rejected by God. Why? Because when he called, they didn't answer. God called to them, and they had the opportunity to answer, but they wouldn't answer. God spake to them. When he spoke to them, they did not hear. They could have heard, but they didn't hear. They did evil before God's eyes when he had given them the law and the way to walk in righteousness. They chose to do evil. They chose to do those things God did not delight in. And because of that, he would bring judgment to them. They would be cast away for a time. But you notice it's back in the verses before that, that God was going to bring a remnant. And God was going to save a remnant out of Jacob. And he was going to bring them back. He's going to talk about that later here in Romans chapter 9 again, or 10 and 11. But get this, God was going to save a remnant by his grace. By his grace. Why? Because God was going to continue to speak to them. God was going to continue to preach to them. God was going to continue to give the word to them. And if they believed, they would have mercy. Faith is what gives the mercy and grace of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God has continued to send the word. He's continued to preach the good news to them. And if they would hear when he speaks, if they would answer when he calls, then he would give them mercy. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to look at one more Old Testament passage this afternoon as we try to make sure that we get a biblical basis for our understanding of what Paul's talking about. In verse 21 in our text, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So we're trying to look at some Old Testament passages where he gives this idea of God being the potter and Israel being the clay. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Stop right there. You guys all know how the potter wheel works? You guys all seen that before? Years ago, we took a church trip down to Eureka Springs to where they have the new Holy Lancer, and they had the Passion Play. Have any of you seen the Passion Play down there? Could you just go like this? Seen that? Have any of you ever done the new Holy Lancer? Have you ever done that? Anybody? They have some recreations. They got a little lake or pond there. They have a recreation of a first century fishing boat. That's really cool. And they do some lessons out there, like Peter. They have a recreation of an upper room that's modeled after one, excavated there in Jerusalem. They have a recreation of the empty tomb, the one that the visitors all go to see in Jerusalem. So they have a lot of things that are kind of recreated. They even have a tabernacle set up, set to the biblical proportions. So they got a huge tent with some recreated, some really neat stuff. But I remember we went there years ago, took a trip from Vianne, and one of the things that they had was they had a potter set up. And he gave a lesson from here in Jeremiah and also from the Gospels. And he had his potter's wheel set up. And it was the old school kind where he had to pump it with his foot. You guys ever seen those? He's rocking his foot back and forth and it's causing the wheel to turn. I'd never seen it before. So it was really neat to me. So he takes this lump of clay. He gets that wheel spinning. He throws that lump of clay on there. And he's preaching. He's giving scripture and teaching while he's molding this thing and forming this thing. And then he was talking about what Jeremiah's talking about, and he intentionally messed it up. Like, he marred it in his hand, it was messed up, and then he had to rework it and reform it. It was really cool. So if you haven't seen anything like that, just try to get the picture in the mind. The wheel's spinning, the clay is there in his hand. He keeps dipping his hand in the water to keep it wet, and he's forming it, shaping it to make it what he wants it to be, okay? So here's Jeremiah, goes down to the potter's house. And verse 4 says this, "The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." Okay? Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. So I went down to the potter's house. And at the appointed time when he walked in the room, he saw the potter working this clay on the wheel. And while he was working it, it became marred in his hand. So he had this vessel he's trying to make. It messed up. It was messed up. It was marred. And so he began to reshape it into what he wanted it to be. All right. O house of Israel. You guys catch that. It's important. O house of Israel. Verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Can you guys help me out? Is Jeremiah prophesying to nations or to individuals? Yes. In this text, he very clearly is speaking to the house of Israel. And he very clearly says, if I am dealing with a nation, and I have said I'm bringing judgment on this nation, but if they repent, then I won't do the evil I was planning to do against them. Now, I know that messes up some of your concepts of God's sovereignty, but just stay with me. God is over time and knows the beginning from the end, but we have to live through time. And we have to experience these things. And it's not as though God doesn't know what he's going to do. It's just the reality that God has pronounced judgment. But if people will repent, God will be merciful because he wants to be merciful. And he wants to be merciful to everyone. His desire is to give mercy and grace and be compassionate. So if they'll repent, he'll give mercy. And then he says, if there's a nation that I want to set up and build, but they turn away from me, then I won't do the good that I want to do to them. I'll turn away from them. And I'll bring evil upon them. This is the picture of the potter and the clay that God gives to Jeremiah. So we go back to our text in Romans 9. Just think about all that Isaiah has said. Think about all the psalmist has said. Think about all that Jeremiah has said. And look at back to our verse. In verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? Verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So here it is, guys. One, God endures vessels of wrath. God endures them. What does that mean? Was Pharaoh guilty before God? Did he deserve to have God's wrath poured out on him? When? After the 10th plague? Or after the first plague? Or before the first plague? You see, God endured him. God put up with him for a long time because God would have been just to overthrow Pharaoh in the very beginning. But what God did was endured him with much long suffering. In other words, God put up with his hard heart and his hard heart, and he hardened his heart so that in the end, God would get glory on this vessel of wrath. He put up with him. He endured him when he could have done away with him in the very beginning. God endures the vessels of wrath in order to show his wrath and to make his power known. All right? We see that. You guys remember when the spies went over into the promised land? The second time. And you remember they met a young lady named Rahab? And you remember what she told them? We have heard about you. We know about your God and how your God overthrew Pharaoh. We know about all the things that he has done. And because of they had heard of the power of God, Rahab and her family believed in the God of Israel. That was the whole point. So he endures the vessels of wrath. He puts up with them. He's long-suffering to them. And he is able to use them for their purposes. Pharaoh's hardening his heart against God to try to overthrow the plans of God. And God just turns him around and makes him into something he can use for his glory. That's what he's saying. And then God calls vessels of mercy in order to show his mercy and to make his glory known. God calls the vessels of mercy to show his mercy and to make his glory known. This afternoon, I just want to ask you, are you a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy? Well, obviously, if you're here on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, you must be a vessel of mercy, right? You're tuning in online on a Sunday afternoon. You've got to be a vessel of mercy. No, not necessarily. You know, while Paul's writing this letter to the Romans, there were thousands of Jews, thousands of Israelites, children of the flesh of Abraham, who were vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction, because they didn't believe in Jesus. We're going to cover these verses later, verse 25 and following, but just please look down to verse 30 in our text, Romans 9 and verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Why not? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The difference is faith. And we can be vessels for honor or vessels for dishonor. 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21. And it depends on whether we hear and obey God's word or not. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the time and your word today. And I know that our flesh is weak. But God, give us willing hearts and willing spirits. I pray that you would speak to us through your word and that we would meditate on the things that we've heard, that you'll help us to learn, help us to grow, help us to know you, and help us to make you known by your grace. Thank you for calling to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being merciful to us, compassionate to us. Thank you for the great love wherewith you've loved us. And help that love that you've shed abroad on our hearts overflow into everything in our lives and into the lives of those we're around, that Christ will be magnified, that you'll be glorified, that your mercy will be known and your glory will be known. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to give you just a few minutes. If anybody has a question or a comment or a complaint,